Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, let's wrap up our series, Joanna, on Unmasking the Enemy. This is part 8, all right? I actually did this in the wrong order, but that's okay. The Lord knew. He's not upset. It's actually supposed to be knowing your Father, knowing who you are in relationship to your Father, then knowing your enemy, then how to worship God. But that's okay. We're going to go into who we are in relationship to our Father in the next part, which is a really exciting series. Of course, I'm excited about every single message that I ever get to preach. So, you know, you're just going to have to put up with me, I guess. Let's go to, why don't you open to, I'll review a little bit, but you can open to Luke chapter 10. Okay, so I'm just going to kind of go over what we've looked at. These are just a few kind of highlights over the last 8 weeks. But if you want to go to Luke chapter 10, I'll be starting in verse 18 here in just a minute. But we've studied the subject of the enemy and who he is. And in this subject, we've gained an understanding that the enemy is defeated. We looked at the origin of Satan, that he was created evil, but he was not created evil. I got to correct that. Not created evil. But became evil by the choices that he made. We also saw that Satan was kicked out of heaven. He fell as lightning. We saw that. We saw that Satan disrupts the divine order of things. In Genesis, we saw where evil entered into the earth when Adam and Eve sinned against God. We saw that our fight is not a natural fight with people, but a spiritual fight with thoughts. The battle is in the mind. And thoughts are powerful things. Thoughts become realities in our lives. They really do. And you can watch people. I've dealt with different people through the years, and I've dealt with some people that, you know, are fighting depression and things like that. And you see somebody, when you see them, have you ever gone to a job and you're in a good mood that day, or you just kind of, you know, ready to go and you got a smile, but you see somebody else that's just kind of moping, you know? And the reason why is because their mind is full of things that it shouldn't be full of. They're thinking on a whole lot of things that they shouldn't. And some people have the idea that, you know, well, I can't help it. My circumstances are this way. And that's a total lie of the enemy. Because we can always choose to be positive, to think on, and that's totally a secular thing. In our case, we can choose to think on the promises of God. Okay? Now, you know, there's a lot of self-help things that have been stolen from the Bible, and they take God out of it, but they use the principle of God. You know, have you guys seen those motivation signs? I'm sure if you're any kind of sales or worked at any job, you know, attitude determines your altitude. And I mean, there's so many things that, you know, present themselves. And the principle is true. The principle is true, but the level that we succeed as Christians should be so much further than the world. Now, I'm not saying you should be the next Bill Gates, okay? But what I am saying is that whatever level of influence that the Lord gives you as you progress in your relationship with Him, God should be emanating through everything that you do. Not just a positive attitude, but a resurrection, anointing, powerful attitude. Where you're releasing God into the atmosphere of where you're at. And it starts with your thoughts. The enemy wants to confine you and limit what you can do as a person. He doesn't want you to succeed. You know? I never really realized how much the enemy was trying to stop me from doing things until I got saved. Then I really realized it. He just does not want Christians to succeed. He doesn't want them to be at the top of their profession. He doesn't want any of that. Why? Because the higher you are up in the ranks, the more influence you have over others. And if you use that influence for God, He hates that, which is where we get into the faith fight. And it's not a fight against people. It's a fight against the enemy. And it's a fight that we always win, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Is that 1 John 5:4? That might be greater as He was in me than He was in the world. Anyway, you figure it out. Go search your Bible. It's in there somewhere. Paul actually wrote in one of his letters, isn't it written somewhere? It is written somewhere. So it's written somewhere. Go find it, all right? So anyway, you'll come across it when you do your Bible reading. So anyway, so it's not a natural fight. It's a fight of thoughts. It's a battle of the mind. Remember, we talked about in 2 Corinthians 11 where Paul was concerned about the church at Corinth, that their minds would be deceived, like Eve's was. Now, if Eve didn't, in her condition, because she was not a sinner, she was born perfect in the image of God. If she could be deceived by not yielding to God, how much more do you think you could? You absolutely could, okay? You absolutely could. So we got to watch out for that and be aware of that. Be alert. So, and 1 Peter talks about that. Okay, we looked at how to resist the devil and he will flee from us. And we saw that Jesus resisted the enemy as our example. We talk about the temptation in the wilderness. James 4:7 has been our main scripture. And you don't have to turn there, but it just says, so be subject to God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. Now, standing firm against the enemy, again, has more to do with thoughts and suggestions than it does a natural enemy. Fear is so powerful. If fear is, in fact, Mike was saying this to me the other day, you don't want to do things out of fear, because what you do is you open the door to the enemy to operate and manifest himself in your life. You always want to do things out of faith. And we talked about Jesus in the boat, and the storm was happening in the boat, and all the disciples are what? Afraid. And what does Jesus do? He gets up, and he says, peace be still, and the storm calms. So one, we know that God didn't cause the storm, otherwise Jesus rebuked God. That probably didn't happen, okay? That's not realistic. Jesus had authority over the enemy, so we know that the enemy caused that storm. Okay, so what happened? Well, because the enemy was let into the earth, destruction can now happen by him. Okay, and so, I mean, to the point that, and we got to understand this, to the point that when Jesus returns, the lion will lay down with what? The lamb. That doesn't make sense to our natural mind. Lions don't look at lambs as buddies. They look at them as food. You know, I mean, I look at lambs as food. So, hey, you know what I mean? It's not an issue of, it's not an issue of just this is just the way it is. No, everything had a spiritual source and a start. And we live in the middle of a clash constantly. You know, people say, well, why doesn't, you know, what about the radical Muslims and people? Listen, there are always going to be somebody killing somebody. We live in the earth. It started with Cain and Abel, and it has not stopped. There's no legislation. There's no amount of government. There's no one world order that's going to stop it. It will never stop. It will always be happening until Jesus comes back. That's the truth. It's never going to stop. And it's cute ideas that people have. And it's pride to think that they can stop it. Now, I think we should have laws. I think that's great. I mean, I enjoy it. It keeps burglars from just breaking into my house. I have to shoot less people coming through my door. Okay? But my point is that we need to seek God. God will take care of us. And when the kingdom of God comes fully on the earth, we won't have to worry about any of this stuff. We won't even think about it. Now, we don't have to worry about it now in that sense. But you understand what I'm saying? We won't even think about it. I mean, which is every day, you won't even wake up. You won't have to sleep. Imagine what you can get done. You have eternity, and you don't have to sleep. You can get a lot done. You know what I mean? I mean, God's got big plans for us, and he's expanding that. But what I'm trying to say is that storm was designed to take out the disciples and Jesus. So who caused the storm? The enemy did, right? Okay, now think about this, all right? I want you to think about this for just a second. That means an unseen force got in the wind and in the water. Does that make sense? And what God did, what Jesus did, I should say, and what the Lord God did through Jesus, is Jesus stood up and used his authority as the Son of God to pull the enemy right out of the circumstance. And what happened? Everything calmed down. So how do you do it? It's the same for us. And that's what we're going to look at today. That your position in Christ is one of authority. The other day, my daughter, I get up early before anybody else because that way I can have time quiet to have devotion and pray and all that stuff and just, you know, read my chapter. So anyway, I was praying and I heard Kylie get up. And she came to me and she said, and she doesn't normally get up that early, you know, unless she drank a lot of water before she went to bed or something like that, you know. And so she came in and she goes, Dad. And I said, what? I said, what are you doing up, sweetie? My throat hurts. And I said, okay. And I didn't even, you know, I should have prayed for her right then. I didn't. But she said, Dad, will you pray for me? Because she knows where the power is, you know. She knows that the Lord can heal her. So, because we pray for our kids all the time. And so, when it's necessary, I guess I should say, we do pray for them all the time. Just not always for healing. Because they're not sick. But we, so anyway, she comes in and she has a sore throat and she hurts to swallow. And I said, okay, come on in. And so I just, you know, put my hand on her throat and I just, and I rebuked the sore throat and commanded it to leave. And so, and I said, now you go get some water and then go back to bed, you know, and so she did. And then a little later on, I didn't, you know, I just went about. So she's got to go to school. And later on, Heidi said, Kylie, did you tell Dad what happened? And she said, oh no, Dad, after you prayed for me, she went in the bathroom or something and coughed and something came out of her throat and she was fine. And that was the end of it. And she was fine. And she went to school for the rest of the day and all that good stuff. So, what did I do though? I believe in an unseen force. I'm operating in a light that is not seen to the natural eye, but it doesn't make it unreal. It's still there. God is still there. Everything in the natural, the scripture says in Romans that creation says, hey, I'm here. God's going, hey, I'm here. And scientifically, we can look at things and go, oh yeah, this is why this happens, and this is why this happens. And I remember having to watch the Darwin movie, the evolution movie, I can't remember, in high school, okay? And I'm watching it, and the first part of it says, we don't know how it all started. Then why are we conjecturing about everything else? Shouldn't we know how it all started? How are we going to know without knowing how it all started? You know? But this is an absolute fact. From the goo to the zoo to you. You know what I mean? We just, I started out as an amoeba and voila, look at me. Oh, I had to lose my tail and my, you know, yeah. So, but what I'm saying is that it all started in a source. Just because it's unseen doesn't make it not real. I mean, you guys have all experienced it. You're born again. What did you see? Nothing. Have we ever, were we on earth when Jesus was? How do we know it's real? We know in our heart, we're convinced in our heart. And here's the thing, those that believe in evolution are convinced in their heart because it can't be based on evidence because the evidence isn't there. So what do they believe? They have a religion of nothing. Like this guy, I heard this guy telling a story about a comedian. And I got to get on with my message, but this is funny. So he's a Catholic guy, and he's a comedian. He was talking about how he was in a store, and when people sneeze, he says, God bless you, you know? And so he was in the standing in a grocery store line, and he said, this person in front of him sneezed. He said, oh, God bless you. And the person turned around and said, I'm an atheist. So he was like, I didn't know what to say. So he said, I just decided to say, nothing happens. All right. That's what you want. Nothing happens. Nothing happens. God don't bless. No, there's no God. So if you sneeze and it's an atheist, just tell him nothing happens. You'll be fine. So, but anyway, there are unseen forces at work. Okay. And they're trying to influence constantly. The Holy Spirit is constantly leading you to say things in a nicer way to your kids. He is me anyway. Maybe not you. Or to your family members, okay? He's not telling you don't tell them the truth. He's saying maybe we should hold off on some truth because they're not ready now. Or let's say it a little bit softer so that we can actually have a conversation and not a battle. Does that make sense? Where do those unseen forces come from? Well, we know the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you want to have a peaceful home where faith is working, you've got to settle yourself down and allow the Holy Spirit to have His personality flow through you, not just the nature of your flesh and the nature of the enemy. So, and all those things are possible because we have the resurrection inside of us. But the level of expectation that we show towards those things will determine the level of manifestation that we see. There has to be something inside of you, in your personal will, where you go, I'm doing this, God. I'm doing what you told me to do. And I'm going to succeed not by just my willpower, but by your grace and by your ability. And when you do that, God says, all right, let's move forward. God's amazing. You talk about patient. I mean, he's putting up with us. And not just us, everybody. You know, the whole world. You think you got it rough. God's got it rough. But it doesn't move him. He doesn't lose control. He's just Steady Eddie. That's not one of his names, but it could be. Jehovah Steady Eddie. You know? So, anyway. But we looked at these different things, and we looked at the influence of those things. So, my first point, if you want to write it down, you can. It says, how should we see Satan or demons, the devil? I'm just going to compile it. This is all one. All the power of the enemy. How should we see all the power of Satan is in regards to us being believers? How should we see Satan and the things of Satan? Luke chapter 10 verse 18 says this, and he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to what? They're subject to you. But rejoice that your name is written in heaven. So I'm thankful. I rejoice in the fact that my name is written in heaven. But how should we see the enemy? We should see the enemy as subject to us. Subject to us. Now, don't just think, when you hear that, don't just think, okay, the guy that has horns and a pitchfork has to listen to me. Think of it in terms of everything we've studied up till this point. That doesn't just mean, what does he want to do? He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to deceive. He wants to cause confusion and death in your life. So anything that is an offspring of who he is subject to you in Christ or in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense? So everything that is considered death, that is of death, is subject to you in the name of Jesus. And that includes physical death. Now, we can't rule over physical death here. It's already been defeated, but the scripture says it'll be the last enemy to be put underfoot. Okay? It's already been defeated. We just don't see the manifestation of that until Jesus comes back. None of us are going to live on this earth forever unless Jesus comes back. Okay? And even then, he's going to catch us away. So don't just think in terms of, well, the enemy, the devil, don't be like, some people are like, it's the devil. Well, don't show him so much respect. Be aware of him, but don't worship him above your God. Do you know what's happening in the ship when they're about to drown and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat? What are the disciples showing more respect to? To God who's in the boat or to the storm and to fear? You see that? So you have to make a decision. And now we got it better than they did because Jesus just isn't in our boat. He's in us. We're born of his nature. We have a new nature. We'll get into that when we get into who we are in relationship to God. It's very powerful. Don't just look at the storm and go, what are we going to do? No, no. If you're really hearing the Holy Ghost, Jesus will look at you in that moment and go, why are you so afraid? You people have this idea about Jesus, like he's just sitting with people that know something about him. I'm talking about disciples now, not just people that were just born again yesterday, okay? But actually know something about him and that he's constantly coddling them. What if I constantly coddled my kid and never trained Kylie how to live life? Can you imagine her coming in here at 11 and, you know, we're still spoon feeding her the baby food stuff? Something's wrong. But yet the church is full of that. You got people that have been saved for 20, 30 years. Listen, I'm not going to call you every time something goes on in my life. I'm going to stand on the word. You know what I mean? And people think, well, it's serious. Well, if you're there where you need support and help with, you need somebody else's faith, that's what we're here for. But eventually, you should be growing to the point where you're not just bench pressing 50 pounds anymore. You should be up to 100 pounds. You should be doing reps at 150. You know what I mean? Something ought to strengthen after a while in your faith walk. Not just be narrow in what you are experiencing in your relationship with God, because you put into practice what you hear. You don't just wake up in the morning and go, just let your feelings run you all day. You get up in the morning. I have a minister friend of mine who is in his 80s, and he taught at the Believer's Rally, Bill Moore. And he was one of the gentlemen that we, at the Believer's Rally. Anyway, he was staying at Pastor Larry's house, and because Larry had him as a guest minister. And Larry woke up one morning, and he heard talking going on in the basement. Well, when you're in your 80s, you're not 27. Okay? I mean, that's Captain Obvious, right? So, when you're in your 80s, you're not in your 20s anymore. So your body wants to do things that it's not supposed to do in its 80s. Brother Hagin used to say, you know, your legs just didn't work as good as at 87 as they did when you were 27. And that's because there's death in your body. It's working, okay? But you can keep your body moving as long as you need to. You know, a lot of people, as they get older, they just want to go home to be with the Lord, and they do. But this gentleman was down in the basement, and he's going back and forth, going, now, body, you listen to me. I have authority over you. Now, when was the last time you heard somebody talk to their body? You only hear somebody do that who understands who they are in Christ. You got to talk to your body. Listen, you talk to your windshield when somebody cuts you off in front of you when you're driving your car. You know what I mean? I do. My windshield has been chewed out more than once. And they don't even know it. You know what I mean? You talk to yourself all day long. You do. Everybody does it. It's scientifically proven. Everybody does. You'll be doing something, you go, and you make a mistake, and you sit there and go, now why did you do that? Well, who are you talking to? Have you ever had anybody walk in on you? Who are you talking to? Never mind. Myself. Me, myself, and I. But he's talking to his body. Why? Because he understands, I have authority over this body. Well, you need to talk to the enemy. When the enemy comes to you and says, you really don't need Christianity. You say, shut up, fool. I do too. I have a relationship with the Lord. I don't just attend a building. God lives in me. You answer him back. And that's what builds strength in you. When you do that, you're doing reps in the spirit. You know what I mean? Give me 20. 20 what? Confessions of who you are in Christ. You know what I mean? That's what it is, because when you do that, you're building a new identity in your mind, and you're releasing a resurrection that's in you. And then you become an influence. Then you become an influence. So he's given us authority, so we need to see the enemy as defeated, okay? The word power in here that he gave us, power, is the right to use power as received and when needed to destroy Satan's works. That's what you have. You have the right and the authority. You not only have the name of Jesus, which is like a badge, but you have the gun, which is the Holy Ghost. You know, a police officer can stand in front of a car and go like this, and they'll stop. Why? Because the police officer is bigger than the car? No, that car could run them over. But what do the people recognize? They recognize the badge of authority, and they recognize the power that is behind that badge. Which it could be a pistol, but if it gets serious enough, it could be a whole fleet of cops. You know what I mean? And so that's what we have. You have the name of Jesus and then the power of the Holy Ghost behind you to in authority over the enemy. And you can tread on the enemy. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says this, God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him, in Jesus, in the cross. The cross was not just your path to heaven. It was the path of heaven to you through into the earth. I'll say it again. Because I said it too fast. The cross of Christ was not just, it is, and it's vitally important, our reconciliation to God. God made us right with him through Jesus. But not only did he do that, he also put the nature of the resurrection or the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. So that he could not only get you to heaven when you leave here, but he could also get heaven back down to you. Does that make sense? So when you speak, when you see the enemy, don't just see yourself going, man, I hope this works. Use your authority and recognize when I speak, heaven backs me up because I'm a child of God. Okay? It would be like if your dad had the biggest arsenal safe in his basement and you're in his house. So you've got rows and rows and rows of different gun and ammunition and all that stuff. When you know your dad, you know he'll back you up. You know he's got your back. So if you were ever in a situation where you were in trouble, you could use your authority knowing what kind of power was backing you up. Well, Jesus, the power that he backed you up with is he just went ahead and stripped the devil out right away. He gutted him. He disarmed him. So people say, well, why does he have so much influence? Because people yield to him. The scripture doesn't say, assist the devil and he'll flee from you. It says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. What is resistance? What is resistance? It's pushing back, right? It would be like if Shane, come here. It would be like if Shane is trying to come up here to get to the stage and he's going to walk up here. I resist him. This is resistance. You can push into me. Yeah, go ahead. This is resistance. If he keeps trying to come at me and that's what the enemy does and I keep pushing him back. No, you can't get to the stage. Then he comes back again to me. This is resistance. Now, thank you very much. So what does resistance look like when it comes to you against the enemy? It looks just like Jesus in the wilderness when he was tempted. When he comes to you and he says, no, you're not going to seed. God's not going to come through for you. You look at him and say, no, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And my God never fails me. He's faithful. He watches over his word and performs it in my life. That is spiritual warfare in a nutshell. Now, there are things around that, and you're going to find things in the scripture that are visions of things that people have seen into the spirit. You don't need to see into the spirit to know how to do spiritual warfare. Listen, I've seen into the spirit. I've seen evil spirits. I've never seen an angel. I've been aware of them in a room. I've heard them singing, okay? But I don't ever go around talking about, you know, when during the week, I don't use that. Against the enemy? Well, you can't mess with me, devil. I heard angels sing. No. What good does that do? It doesn't do anything. I'm thankful that I heard them. Okay. Fine. Good. But I'm not going to glorify that. I'm going to glorify what the Lord said in his word to me. I'm not going to glorify my experience. I'm going to glorify the truth, the sword of the word of God, and use it as a weapon. And as I do, then the enemy is defeated. The enemy is, well, I shouldn't say the enemy is defeated. The enemy is disarmed in my life. The enemy has access to people when they allow it. Okay? Make sense? Okay, I want to read something to you out of that particular passage. This was a commentary. It says this about that specific scripture. It says, Jesus Christ won a complete victory and he returned to glory in a great triumphal procession. In this, he disgraced and defeated Satan. He disgraced and defeated Satan. The satanic armies of principalities and powers are defeated and disgraced. As we claim the victory of Christ, use the equipment he has provided for us, and trust Christ, we are free from the influence of the devil. We're free from it. You don't have to live under it. You don't have to live thinking, I'm going to be at this job for the rest of my life. You know, I have a book by Charles Capps, and it has a bunch of confessions in it, and I use it almost daily, pretty much daily. But one of the confessions in there is, I take off all limiting beliefs about where I will work and what I can be paid. It's freeing, isn't it? Why? Because I got an MIT degree? Trust me, I don't have an MIT degree, okay? People are like, yeah, no kidding. No, that's not it. I don't need an MIT degree. I've got the resurrection of Christ. Well, that's not fair. What fair? Faith. Get fair out. Well, I've been in this particular position and they never consider me for promotion. Watch that mouth. No, they always, because the favor of God is on me. When I come into a place, you should be believing like Joseph. Well, it seems like they just, they never, no. Believe God. Believe His Word. He'll open the door for you. And when he brings you the right, oh man, it's sweet. It's not that you don't have to fight off physical tiredness, but you're not as tired. You don't go, oh, I gotta work. You get to go help somebody be a success. You clean out the people that are just kind of milking the thing. Know what I mean? Well, that don't irritate me. Just milk it. I've been hired onto jobs before, and I was hated by the old as they left and loved by the new as they came in. Why? Because I wasn't going to let the old just drag the business into the ground because they just wanted a paycheck. I clean it out. Make it better. Why? Because I just love the employer so much. Well, I love the employer, but it's more about the fact that I serve God. And He asked me to live at a certain level and perform for Him at a certain level. That means get it done. You know what I mean? You know what I mean by that? Okay, anyway. My grandpa used to kick us if we didn't move fast enough. So that's part of the issue that I have, okay? You guys, he'd say, you guys need a shot in the butt with a square needle. Thanks, Grandpa. Sounds nice. So how should we see ourselves? How should we see ourselves? Okay, this is our last point. How should we see ourselves? Windy out there today. How should we see ourselves? So the first one was, how should we see the enemy? Second one was, how should we see ourselves? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Still got a few minutes here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now look at this. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His what? It's His body. Where are Jesus' feet? In you. You are His feet. The scripture says that He is the head and we are the... So, if He was raised up far above what? All principality, all power, all dominion and might, and every name that is named, not only in this age, in other words, where you live right now, but also in the age that is to come, and He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head, Jesus to be the head, over all things to the what? The church, which is His, which is the building you meet in? No. It be you. It be you. You are it. The church, this is how you should see yourself. You should be careful. Don't touch me. I'm the Lord's right arm. I'm the Lord's finger. You don't want to mess with me. You see what I'm saying? The enemy, he wants to stop that mentality in your mind, because when that mentality comes and you begin to act on it, his day of ruling you is over. You become a real influence. You become a terror to him. I mean, think about it. I want to stretch your mind just a little bit here, okay? Think about it. Jesus went places and demons ran to him and in fear. Read the Gospels. They would run up to him and go, "Are you here to torment us?" When was the last time that happened to the church? There's only one time I've ever read about it, and it was in Smith Wigglesworth Ministry. I would hear about him, I would read about him, and it says in meetings that demon-possessed people would cry out and try and run out the building, and he would run and tackle them. Talk about entertaining church. You never adult. Who needs lights and flashy lasers and smoke, all right? Just have a demon-possessed person start running, the preacher start chasing them. it never is dull, right? And those people would be set free. Now, I'm not telling you to do this, but because Smith Wigglesworth had a revelation on this, but he would have people come up that had cancers. There was one lady that he had come up, and she had a cancer in her of some sort and was in a wheelchair, and he picked her up out of the, he was a big guy. He was a plumber. He picked her up out of the wheelchair. He said, pull the wheelchair out from underneath her. And he said, in Jesus' name be healed. And he let her go. And she dropped. Boom! Hit the ground. And the people were like, oh! And he picked her back up. And he said, I said leave her alone or get out in Jesus' name. And he let her go. And she dropped again. Yeah, no kidding. This is where you better know you're in faith and not in emotion. And somebody said something to him. Now, he's a big guy. Keep this in mind, okay? He's a big guy. He's a plumber. All right? And uneducated. He learned how to read by reading the Bible. Okay? Which might be good for some of us. Anyway, but so somebody yelled at him, you heartless man. He looked at the crowd and he said, you mind your own business, I'll do mine. I mean, he didn't play around. He picked her back up again and he said, I told you to get out of her in Jesus' name. And at that moment, the tumor dropped out of her onto the ground and she was healed and she stood. He raised his own wife from the dead. He walked into funerals and would pull the person out of the casket and slam them against the wall, punch them in the stomach, and command them to rise from the dead. And they would drop to the ground. He'd pick them up and do it. Can you imagine being in a funeral? And you're sitting there looking at this going, yeah, when's the reception? When's the reception? When's the reception? And they would raise from the dead. He is documented, 23 people raised from the dead, documented, medically documented. 23 people from the dead. You ever want to read anything interesting? Smith Wigglesworth. Never a dull moment. I heard from many sources, and I haven't read this myself, that actually he actually kicked a Down syndrome baby, and the baby was healed. Dropped it. Poof. Yep. Now, does that make sense? But it produces results. I mean, think about this, guys. Jesus spoke to a tree. What if I was outside before the service going, listen to me, tree. I mean, how many people would that attract? Because our Christianity has moved away from the Bible and into things that are not scriptural, that are just entertainment. There's no power. We got to have power. We got to have the Lord. I'm not saying we throw out the Bible, but the Bible is full of things that make absolutely no sense to the natural mind. And if you want to see the power of God, you've got to see, and I want you to experience it in your individual life. We're going to experience it here, yes, but your individual life. I want you to experience prosperity. I don't want you to be impressed by the fact that I receive prosperity. Now, if it encourages you, great. That's what we want. But we want you to experience your own prosperity so that you can bless your family. You know what I mean? Like growing up, you, and I didn't get to everything, but we're done. Growing up, when you're a kid, like, this is something that I've always wanted to do, but there are times at different times where my wife and I have set aside amounts of money and just bought, expensive gifts for Christmas or birthdays or whatever for our parents. Just at different times. Why? Because my parents are not going to just need to support me they don't support me at all in the sense of financially at all. And they haven't for years. But it's my goal that I can turn around and give back to them. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't want them to just think, well, you know, here comes Sean. He probably wants some more money. Well, he's our kid. I got to take care of him. No way, man. I want to bless them. I want to honor them. Do you see what I'm saying? That mentality in us where we begin to see ourselves and then continue and let it grow and grow and grow to where the limits are off on what God can do in our lives. It's just like when Tessa was sharing about what God's going to do in our church and what's going on here. How do we know it's going to happen? We see it in our heart. Yeah, but I don't see them. Where are they at? I see them everywhere. Because I'm not looking with these. I'm looking in here. I'm looking inside me. So what is God showing you inside you about your life? What is God showing you about what he wants you to do for his kingdom? Maybe he doesn't just want you to drive the truck. Maybe he wants you to own the fleet. Do you see what I'm saying? Maybe he doesn't just want you to own one business. Maybe he wants you to own seven of them. And then your mind does this. How is that going to happen? And you got to go, shut up. All things are possible to him who believes. We have the resurrection in us. I don't know how, but God, you do. And it's going to be fun watching you do it. You know where I'm at today compared to where I was when I first got saved? My goodness. You'd have looked at me and you'd have thought, he's going to be a what? He's going to do what? There were people that were mad that I dated Heidi. They came to her and told her, get away from that guy. They knew me before I was saved. So, that man died. That man died. I'm a new creation. I see myself, and I have to fight for it daily, the way Jesus sees me. When I'm on the job and it doesn't look like things are going right, and I say, thank you, Lord, that you make my hands prosper. I don't feel it at all. But by the end of the day or by the end of the week, everything's worked out and it looks good. I'm not giving up. I don't know how to give up. Give up's not a part of me. It's not in me. If you ever want to see me fight you, and not physically fight you, but you want to come against what I feel like God's told me to do, and then you'll get resistance. And you should be the same way. You understand what I mean? You remember when Jesus was standing and telling the boys, you know, the 12, the disciples, what he had to do in his death, that he had to go to the cross? And Peter said, oh, no, that won't be you. What did Jesus look at him and say? Not get behind me, Peter. Not shut your mouth, Peter. Not sit down, Peter. Satan, shut up and get behind me. What do you think Peter had a complex after that? Can you imagine? He probably had to go to counseling. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because Peter came against the will of God for Jesus. And so that fight needs to be in you against the enemy and the will of God for your life. You say, well, I don't know what the will of God is. You better get to seeking him. Pray about it. Well, God, what do you want me to do? It's bigger than just, my life is bigger, and what God has for me to do is bigger than just my day-to-day, Monday through Friday thing. It's bigger than just get married and have kids. Come on. It's bigger than just get married, get a house, get what I want, and then have kids, and then raise a... No, it's bigger than that. All that is included in it. But what is God asking you to do? How is he asking you to see yourself differently? He's already showed you what the enemy is doing, and he knows, and you need to look at the enemy as a defeated foe, and then you need to see yourself the way God sees you, and in that moving forward, you have a path of light that you can operate in that the blessings of God can flow through. Amen? All right. Father, we just thank you so much for today. Lord, thank you for... Man, just for giving me words to speak and for utterance and for encouragement and for the faith that's here, Lord, and the stirring that you've placed in the hearts of all of us here, Lord. We are so thankful. Lord, we don't know how we're going to do everything in our natural mind, but we've already been provided for in the resurrection of Christ, and we receive it. We thank you for the growth in this church before it ever happens. We thank you for the growth in the individual families and lives that are represented here even before it ever happens. We thank you that you're leading us down a path of righteousness, and that the path of the just is like the rising of the sun. It shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. So we declare that our path is getting brighter and brighter and brighter because we refuse to be distracted from you. We follow you, have singleness of mind in following you. And we thank you for it. Lord, we thank you for what you've revealed to us about the enemy. We will put it into practice in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.